20 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A surprise 180 from the Biden administration today, which will allow construction to continue on the southern border wall in Texas. It comes as Border Patrol deals with a new surge of migrants at the border. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's in Mexico.
The scale of this challenge demands that we redouble our efforts, that we do more to improve and modernize border security, that we do more to increase legal migration pathways and protections, more to address root causes, and more to deter irregular migration.
The U.S. has apprehended more than 200,000 migrants trying to cross the border illegally so far this year. President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer are among those honoring longtime California Senator Dianne Feinstein today at her funeral in San Francisco. Mayor London Breed.
Millions of girls my age and long after me have grown blissfully free of the yokes our grandmothers wore because Dianne Feinstein wrestled them off, because she showed the way.
Feinstein was the city's first female mayor before starting her groundbreaking career in Congress. Capitol Hill could get a surprise visitor next week as House Republicans scramble to find a new speaker. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
There are reports, including from some members of Congress's social media feeds, that Donald Trump's considering to be part of this Tuesday candidates forum House Republicans are having. And I talked to one close ally of Steve Scalise who told me in a pretty muted phrase, yeah, I don't think that's going to be helpful.
It would be Trump's first visit there since January 6. The United Nations has condemned Russia's missile attack today on a cafe and grocery store in a village in Ukraine. Spokesman Stefan Dujarric.
Attacks against civilians and civilian infrastructure are prohibited under international humanitarian law, and they must stop immediately.
More than 50 people were killed. Not as many people going to church these days.
One in three Americans now say they are non-religious, and they don't care for organized religion. That's the finding of a survey by the Associated Press.
It's a very good possibility in the next 30 or 40 years there will be more non-religious Americans than there will be Christians in the United States for the first time in American history.
Eastern Illinois University political science professor Ryan Burge has written a book on the increasing number of Americans who have given up on organized religion. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
The world set a heat record after sweating out September. The average temperature last month, nearly 2 degrees hotter for this time of year. It was the warmest month in 83 years. Climate experts say it's a death sentence. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Dive into crime dramas on Pluto TV. Unravel the mysteries on CSI, Criminal Minds, and Blue Bloods. Plus, watch thousands of other crime movies and TV shows, all for free. Download Pluto TV on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.
Exergen thermometers are a top choice of medical professionals at highly ranked hospitals across the U.S. Accuracy matters, so make Exergen the chosen thermometer for your home and family. Available at Walmart and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
When your people are ready, your business is ready. Cintas makes sure they have what they need to perform their best. Whether it's freshly laundered work apparel for almost any job imaginable, fire protection systems that are tested and inspected, first aid and safety supplies, floor mats, or cleaning tools and restroom products, stocked and ready when you need them. Better work days happen together, so visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
James here, host of the new Sunrise Show on Wis Country 105.5 WIRI. We're on the air live every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m. to start your day right with...
More Garth. More Reba. Winona.
Yeah, but also the National Day of Calendar.
Brooks and Dunn.
Country news.
Brooks and Dunn.
This day in country history and your requests, plus the country legends.
More Garth. More Reba.
That you know and love. It's coffee, conversation, and country. Every weekday from 7 to 8 on 105.5 WIRI, Wis Country.
Winona.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. It's harvest season, and that means slow-moving farm equipment on the roads. To help raise awareness and potentially save lives, slow-moving vehicle signs are available for free to farmers. The Wisconsin DOT reported 136 crashes between motorists and farm vehicles in the state last year. These crashes resulted in 2 deaths and 50 injuries. Orange triangles help make farm equipment more visible. Drivers should also be on the lookout this time of year especially for farm equipment moving slower than the normal speed of traffic. Friday is National Kids Music Day. The students at Howe Elementary in Wisconsin Rapids are learning how to keep rhythm during their music classes. Kids Music Day is celebrated on the first Friday of October to inspire kids to include music into their daily lives. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 44 tonight under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 51, overcast skies, partly cloudy tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered rain showers, lows around 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
When I take my picture, wanna kiss her, I'm like, damn.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. So much that I could talk about today, but I'm going to start with some sound that Anya was kind enough to pull for me. This first one that we're going to go with, and by the way, Anya, this is going to be cut 6A. This is Representative Garrett Graves on Morning Joe. It's an MSNBC show this morning. And Joe Scarborough, who used to be a Republican member of Congress, asked him what I thought was the best question. And he asked, and Representative Graves is not a fan of the Freedom Caucus, okay? Has a lot of harsh words for Matt Gaetz. We may get to more of them. But the most important question that he was asked today was after he got done trashing Gaetz and sort of talking about how ridiculous everything is. Joe Scarborough said to him, listen, the liberals have an extreme wing or a more left or a most progressive, however you want to express it, wing, generally referred to as the squad. Sometimes I get that wrong and call them the crew, but that's just because I love the Brewers, RIP 2023. So the squad, they're the most progressive branch of the Democratic Party. And there's more of them than there are of the Freedom Caucus. And so what Joe Scarborough asked Representative Graves this morning was, how is it that Nancy Pelosi was able to so ably create and get legislation up and out of committees and passed and adopted when, you know, she was dealing with the most progressive wing, the squad, if you will, this sort of greenest element of the Democratic Party. And Kevin McCarthy wasn't. Why is that? And I thought what Representative Graves said was just incredibly revealing. He didn't mean it to be so, and I'm going to break down for all of you why I think that is. But let's go ahead and listen to the clip. This is this morning on Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough. Why was Nancy Pelosi able to deal with her most extreme wing? And why was Kevin McCarthy not able to do that? Let's go ahead on.
He's the one who evicted herself.
Joe Scarborough here. So tell me, you had suggested that the squad was about the same as the five or six people that ousted McCarthy. Nancy Pelosi had about a 5-vote majority, still got things done. Why do you think it is that Democrats and Nancy Pelosi were able to keep the House in order and Republicans weren't?
You know, Joe, it is a fantastic question. And you obviously understand this intimately from your service in the Congress. The Democrats, and it's a characteristic of the ideology where they bond together much more. I think they're used to having a little bit more centralized leadership, representing urban areas, more dependence upon government. And you are intimately aware of the Lone Ranger status, the independence, the give me liberty or give me death perspective of many conservatives, of many Republicans. And I think that that's where you just really have that tension, and that Republicans don't want to be told what to do, don't want to be centralized. And I think it really is sort of a characteristic or a tendency of many Republicans or of conservatives that really is at odds with this whole concept of a central leader. Last thing is, you know, something Kevin McCarthy said a lot that I think it's really poignant in this case. He didn't hire and he can't fire any of the members that he's supposed to be leading. It really creates a challenging management structure. But once again, I think it's more characteristic of Republican ideology.
We can cut it. Okay. I'm just going to take the last bit first. He didn't hire him and he can't fire him. Yes, they're elected members of Congress. Like, thank you for that insight, Representative Graves. Boo. And so did Nancy Pelosi. It's just objection, non-responsive, please instruct the witness to answer. But boy, was the first part of that answer interesting. So I'm paraphrasing. Democrats are more used to bonding. They understand that there needs to be centralized leadership, that they have to get together. There's a greater reliance on government. And he says, like, this is the characteristic sort of endemic to Democrats. More people in urban areas, more reliance on government. Then he went on to describe the GOP and Republicanism. He basically said, these are don't tread on me folks. Nobody can tell me what to do. We don't believe in a central leader was some of the phraseology. All right, like I always do, let me break down the baloney into the straight talk. Democrats believe in government and institutions, and Republicans don't. That is the entire, and he just said it, right? This isn't about freaking Kevin McCarthy, is it now? It's not about the Freedom Caucus. He just defined Republicanism as we don't believe in government and democratic institutions, and Democrats do. That is the entire point that has been a brewing since Newt Gingrich. That is their brand. I never understood when anybody runs to be an elected official in government if you don't believe in government in the first place. Of course they're burning it down. That's been the plan all along. Could go off about Grover Norquist and a whole bunch of other things. Drown the baby in the bathtub. That is it in a nutshell. And this has nothing to do with Kevin McCarthy. It has nothing to do with the current iteration of this. It's just in its most florid, extreme manifestation. But it has always been a defining characteristic of the Republican Party post basically Nixon. We don't believe in government. Don't tax me. Don't tread on me. Don't clean my water. Don't make sure my air is clean. Don't fund my public schools. Cindy from Appleton, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you this afternoon?
Well, I just don't understand. If these politicians are also anti-government, why are they government employees?
Right? Brilliant minds think alike. I mean, I just said it. If you're if you think government is the root of all evil, that there should be no centralized leadership, then why are you running for elected office? Go to the private sector and make your
and
billions.
Running. Yep. And they continue to run and run and run. You know?
Yes,
they
don't never go away.
They don't leave, they stay. Yep. I don't get it.
Unbelievable. And the reason why is because it's the definition of performative politics. They do this because it's self-aggrandized, ego-affirming, power leveraging, power for power's sake. It's never been about good government, and it's certainly never been about good policy. I also thought it was really interesting this morning, Joe Manchin was on, and he gave some comparisons, or he presented, he was talking about Ukraine, And I thought he did a pretty cogent job explaining why Republicans like Matt Gaetz and the knuckle-dragging MAGA crowd, why they're having trouble understanding that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. So, Anya, this is going to be clip two. So this is Joe Manchin, also on Joe Scarborough's Morning Joe this morning, explaining why GOP support for Ukraine is waning. Go ahead and run that, Anya.
We're committed at that time to go help our allies.
I've heard reporting from the Trump side that there are only 25 of the whatever it is, 221 Republican districts where people are still supporting that war effort for Ukraine. The numbers are declining on the Republican side. So how do you make a better argument? The argument you've just made, why is it so difficult to sell that to the American
public?
What
they're pitting it off. Okay, which one are you more concerned about? You concerned about the border? Are you concerned about Ukraine? You concerned about basically a high cost inflation or Ukraine? They start putting it that way, and people start saying, well, wait a minute, that's second on my list, or that's third on my list. For world peace and to have a quality of life in this world and basically have democracy and freedoms, and we are the superpower of the world, and our superpower comes because we're willing to defend democracy and freedom anywhere in the world. If we walk away from that,
we can wrap that clip up. What did he just describe? I talk about this all the time here on the Maggie Dawn Show. The illusion of a false choice. That everything is zero sum. That we cannot walk and chew gum. That we can't deal with immigration and support Ukraine. Right? We can only do one or the other. And he goes on and he elucidates this false choice. Deal with inflation or help Ukraine. That's garbage. As Professor Yoshiko Herrera yesterday so ably enunciated, only 5% of the U.S.'s entire defense budget, which is only part of our total overall budget, goes to aid Ukraine. And notice what's up here, right? The through line between what Representative Garrett Graves admitted on the air, that the GOP is only and ever and is completely reduced to sort of anti-governmental chaos mongering, shows up in the presentation, their framework of false choices, of it's always a zero-sum game. Because if you think of it that way, you pit people against each other. You foment division, which foments chaos. And, oh, do you think it's a coincidence that the party that doesn't believe in government, doesn't believe in institution, is a collaborator of chaos, wants to divide us, happens to be aligning with the architects of the current American chaos, or at least the accelerators of it, Vladimir Putin and the Russian misinformation machine. That's all about creating chaos here in the United States. You can join my conversation this afternoon because I'm going to put some other things together in the bottom half of this hour. But then when we come back, starting at the half hour, I'm going to be joined by my great friend, Bob DeVita. He's going to explain why the U.S. healthcare system is so screwed up. You know, in just a couple of few minutes of talk radio. So keep it locked here on the Maggie Dawn Show. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us 844-967-2789.
Spending all my time on what I want. Looking in the mirror. I'm so glad I'm here. I'm the one to be, yeah. I'm the one to be, yeah. Eat that, beat that. I'm the one to be, yeah. I hate when no one not at me.
For two decades, FBI agent Robert Hansen sold secrets to the Kremlin.
He violated everything that my FBI stood for.
People died because of him.
Hansen was the most damaging spy in FBI history, and his betrayals didn't end there.
Do I hate him? No, I don't hate anyone. But his motive. I would love to know what his true motive is so I can get that out of me.
How did he do it? Why? Listen to Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen, wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have questions about your retirement? Ameriprise financial advisors Shannon Moon and Jason Kramer can help. With the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach, you'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call Shannon and Jason today at 715-421-2250. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. A proud sponsor of Badger Football. Tri-City Services Heating and AC wants to warm the hearts of the Wisconsin Rapids area by giving a furnace to a deserving person or family in need, someone who needs a helping hand and is trying to work their way back to the top. Do you know of anyone like that? Maybe it's you. Apply yourself or nominate online at calltricity.com before October 16th. The committee will select someone to have a furnace installed at no charge. That's right, no charge. Please help us warm the hearts of the Wisconsin Rapids area. Apply or nominate online at calltricity.com.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can always get the app from your favorite app store for free. It's my favorite price, $0. Just type in Civic Media, and there we will be. So before the break, I was stitching together some basic things about the GOP. They're starting to say the quiet part out loud now a lot more than they ever did before. And it's basically that the GOP is an anti-government, anti-institution party now. That's what it's devolved into. It's been a march, but it has been a steady, unrelenting march. It's now in a full-out sprint. They just want to burn it down in a very literal way. And the way that you accomplish this is by dividing, acting like everything is zero sum, and fomenting discontent, hating of your neighbor. And the chief separator, the chief separatist, the chief chaos agent is the orange man. And boy, did he give it some verbiage earlier this week. Anya, we're going to be doing the blood clip here in a second. We know that Trump is a racist. It's his brand. But man, again, it's just the quiet part out loud. This isn't about let's come together and solve problems and compromise. It's zero sum, us versus them. And the us are only basically white, cisgendered, hetero, normative landowners, right? I mean, that's it. Let's play the Trump on immigration, if you will.
Nobody has any idea where these people are coming from, and we know they come from prisons. We know they come from mental institutions, insane asylums. We know they're terrorists. Nobody has ever seen anything like we're witnessing right now. It is a very sad thing for our country. It's poisoning the blood of our country. It's so bad, and people are coming in with disease. People are coming in with every possible thing that you can have.
That's Nazism, okay? These people are poisoning the blood of our country. They're coming in with disease. This is a tale as old as time, that the other is diseased, bad, not part of us. That otherization, that cultivation of chaos, that is the GOP of today. It's just where we're at right now. And even, you know, Representative Garrett Graves, what was the language? We don't like a central leader. We don't like to be told what to do. Well, yeah, you don't like government. Billy, from the north side of Madison, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, my friend?
Hey, counselor. What I'm wondering about is, you know, my take on why the Supreme Court decided for Bush and Bush v. Gore was because, I know this isn't the rationale they probably gave, but just like, hey, you know, we don't have time to decide this correctly because that would just upset some of the people that we don't want to upset. So we're just, nope, you're done, no more recount. And what is to stop the Supreme Court, which is far worse now, from doing the exact same thing at whatever point regarding prosecutions of Donald Trump? What's to stop them from saying, well, you know, he might be guilty, but really we can't, you know, there's an election. We gotta just push this aside because it's just too late.
Great questions, Billy. There's two in there, and I'm going to break them down. Basically asked about what is going on when the Supreme Court and Bush v. Gore is like, this is too much recounting. There's too many hanging chads. It's all too complicated. Let's just call it done. And this wasn't the constitutional rationale. I'd have to reread the case, and I don't want to get it wrong on the air. But I do want to take a moment to observe this. Choosing to maintain the status quo does select winners and losers. Doing nothing is a choice. Maintaining institutions that generate disparate outcomes that clearly fall along racial lines, is a value choice. It's to continue to privilege those who have historically always benefited from these systems. Right? Preservation of the status quo ante is an expression of value that privileges white, heteronormative, cisgendered landowners, men predominantly. I forget what Billy's second question was, Anya. If you remember what it was. Oh, what's to prevent them from doing that now? Ah, it's the very nature of a criminal prosecution. The appeals standard for certain things in criminal prosecution, you basically have to prove actual innocence as long as the trial court judges do a pretty darn good job ensuring that the defendant's rights are protected. So all else being equal, if you're the trial court judge in any of Donald Trump's criminal trials, you're going to always tend to err on the defendant's side of the ledger, because that way he's got no good appeal. So I think it's a good place to end when we're talking about preserving the status quo ante and the moral imperative to fix institutions that don't work for most of us most of the time. Because when we come back, we're going to talk about healthcare and that institution. It's not just an economic system. It's an institution in this United States. And how did we end up in this place with my good friend, Bob DeVita? Keep it locked, everybody. If you've got questions, Bob's got answers. 844-967-2789 here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Please join the leadership team from Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or seller. So please tune in on Tuesday afternoons at 3:30, where we'll be highlighting all things real estate.
Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors is your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday afternoon at 3:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. There will be an electronic and small appliance recycling event in Portage County on Thursday, October 12th from 4 to 6:30. It will be at the Portage County Transfer Facility and for Portage County residents only. We have a solar eclipse happening this month. The Wisconsin Rapids Public School District staff is inviting the public to eclipse viewing events for students, families, and interested community members. They'll have two locations on Saturday, October 14th, when the moon will cover a little more than half of the sun. Equipment will be set up from 10 a.m. to 1:15 at Lincoln High School on the north end of the front parking lot. They'll have a similar setup at the YMCA on West Grand Avenue on the west side of the parking lot. You can use their telescopes with solar filters, pinhole viewers, and other projection methods to view the eclipse safely. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 44 tonight under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the west 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 51, overcast skies, partly cloudy tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered rain showers, lows around 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 67.
Now a junkie professor, an adjunct professor at UWM's School of Business, executive yes. MBA, healthcare leadership professor.
Yeah.
And we're here to try to break down all the things. How did we get here?
Yeah.
That's the big one. So welcome, Bob. It's great to have you back.
It's wonderful to be here. I was here last month.
Yes.
But the Republican National Convention interrupted.
Yes, it sure did.
Yeah.
But we've got a full half hour. If you have questions about the U.S. healthcare system, how we got here, why it still stinks, and how we get out of this mess, you can always give us a buzz. 844-967-2789. I was talking before the break that, you know, somewhere in the root of the GOP, and you don't have to weigh in on that particularly, is the sort of do-nothingness of it, right? The anti-governmental sort of lean of it in the post-Nixon era. It is not surprising to me that it was under a Democratic president that we at least began the long march towards healthcare for all.
Yes.
But the last time you were here, Bob, I thought you did yeoman's work in helping to set the stage of, like, why are we in this place? How did this evolve in this bizarre way that we've got a thing that we all need, that we need more of as we get older, and yet it's a profit-making enterprise.
Yes.
So help contextualize this historically for folks.
Sure. A little bit of history. We have lost our moorings in U.S. healthcare. I won't go into the history, but a little bit of background is, you know, start out as in the nonprofit sector, nonprofit being not for shareholders, but you still have to make a profit. It's just how you use it. That's the difference. And for the welfare of the people we serve, not for the executives, not for the staff, but for the welfare of the people we serve, the community. And we've sort of lost that. And the reason we've lost it is because we don't pay attention to the mission. People like me and people that I teach go into healthcare because of the mission, what we do, service, and it gets beat out of us. And back to your previous discussion about chaos, we've introduced chaos into the healthcare system because we haven't defined what the problem is. And the problem is both structural as well as the moral problems that I talked about, the lack of mission focus. But the structural problem is that the thinking about healthcare stopped being creative in the Nixon administration.
And from a governmental policy side. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we had Medicare 1965, Medicaid 1965, and then Nixon in the 70s. And he actually had quite a wide array of innovation. And then that skipped over a couple of decades. But even recently, so Obamacare, which you were referring to, emanated from two conservative viewpoints. One was the Heritage Foundation.
Yep.
Did a white paper. It's taken down from their website.
Yeah, you can't find it anymore.
I used to teach from it about the Affordable Care Act in terms of an insurance product.
Right.
It was actually very good. They took it down as soon as Obamacare passed because they couldn't stand to have that model. The second piece was Mitt Romney.
I was going to say it's Romney-care. Stop calling it Obamacare. It was Romney-care.
It was Romney-care. 2005, 6, 7. And it was like a carbon copy of writ large of what the state of Massachusetts did.
Yep.
And then Obamacare was sold by too many people as a panacea when all it was destined to do and designed to do was cure the individual market for health insurance, which was a mess. Think of Medicare for under 65.
Yep.
Period. Think of a 20% rate of uninsured across the U.S. population. Period. So today it's around 9% uninsured, cut in half from the time Obamacare became effective, which was January 2013, till now. So
by a one-vote margin on the Supreme Court.
By a one-vote margin on the Supreme Court. Three times it went to the Supreme
Court.
Yes. Three times.
And John McCain.
John McCain.
Thumbs down. Right.
And 70 times to, quote, repeal and replace.
Yes.
Rip it out, root and branch, is what Mitch McConnell said.
The funniest thing about repeal and replace was that there was never a replace. It was just repeal this.
Bingo. That's what I meant by the thinking stopped.
Yeah.
The Democrats have had all of the thinking. And this is, it's not because I'm a Democrat or Republican. It's because that's the the truth.
Factually observational.
Second Republican debate last week. Nikki Haley was the only one who discussed health care. And she talked about...
And it took us to get to the second debate before they talked about health care. Yeah.
What's interesting is they backed off blasting Obamacare because they know it's enshrined and it's doing the job.
Correct. You know, a program that takes the uninsured proportion of Americans down, cuts that in half, is a win. Hey, Anya, do you have that my favorite Nikki Haley sound from the second Republican debate?
I hear you. I feel a little bit dumber for what you said.
Oh, yeah, this one.
Because I can't believe TikTok situation. What they're doing is these 150... I hear you. I feel a little bit dumber for what you say.
Oh,
I can't believe
every time I hear you, Vivek, I feel a little bit dumber. I should, you know, I don't agree with Nikki Haley on a whole bunch of stuff, right? But here's what. That woman owned that debate stage both times. And here's what, because it's the GOP, she has 0% chance. Forget Trump. She wouldn't be able to break through because her actual given name on her birth certificate isn't Nicole. It's not Nikki, right?
Yeah, it's an Indian name.
Yes, and she's a woman.
And she's a woman.
I mean.
The horror of it. An immigrant and a woman.
I know. But returning to this, one of the things that I think is really interesting about your perspective, Bob, is that you've been on the inside of it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that lifelong dedication and also the fact that you now take time during your retirement to teach, I just want to say thank you. And you're also very honest about what's wrong with healthcare,
which is
so refreshing. we need, you know, the revolving door. The revolving door should also include a time where everybody that's been on any side of this stuff is hooked up to the truth-telling machine. Yes. Right? The third stop is where you have to tell everyone the truth about what you know.
So Maggie's heard the story. I came out of retirement the second time. I retired twice. I came out of retirement to do Common Ground Healthcare as the founding CEO, because I was part of driving the healthcare car into the ditch, even though I was trying not to. It's in the ditch so bad that we've got to jack it out, you know, and it's, you know, not coming out easily. So I thought, well, Common Ground Healthcare, as part of the Affordable Care Act, we've got a chance to do something innovative. And this is my sort of payback for atonement, I called it. I actually called it atonement. The other co-founders remember me.
Gee whiz, are you Catholic?
Yeah. It's Catholic guilt. Well, they guilted me into it. Like, Bob, you grew up here. You
fix
should
it.
Do this. Fix this. Help us fix it. Okay, so I tried, and we've done great things. It's still there. It's still doing well. Insured 67,000 people. Watch their commercials on Monday Night Football, because it is open enrollment. Pro tip.
Yes. It starts what date? October 15th?
Yep. So long story short, being honest about healthcare, and here's my simple sports analogy, because you knew I'd come up with a sports analogy.
Of course.
If this was the U.S. hockey team, I'd fire the coach and the players and start over, because U.S. healthcare, I mean, we suck at it. Excuse me, that's the term.
Yep.
We're not good at it. We should be good at it. I mean, we, you know, have AI, we have ChatGPT, we have Moonshot, we have mRNA, all this stuff, and we can't get healthcare right?
Well, I continue to be baffled by the fact that people have a really hard time getting their heads around this basic fact. Rich people will always have Cadillac healthcare, yeah. Like full stop. The question is, and as an economist, this is what really bothers me about this. The reason that conservatives, that Mitt Romney tried to basically get everyone health insurance, is because it is vastly cheaper for every taxpayer.
Absolutely.
Corporate taxpayers, rich taxpayers, middle class taxpayers, and folks that don't make even a living wage. It is cheaper for everyone in the long run if you have really good health care, really good preventative care. This isn't complex. Everyone knows what the solution is, right? The problem is, it's not politically viable. It's not politically salient for one party to say that out loud.
Right.
Because they start to trade away their power and influence.
Yep. During the Tea Party's ascendancy, it was clear that because Obamacare was termed Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act was termed Obamacare, which was kind of cool when it became successful, Obama said, hey, I'm glad they named it after me.
Of course.
But during that time, it was pretty divisive. But when you asked people, and I would, I'd go to libraries, community centers, because we were a pretty small startup, and I was in sales as well as the CEO. I'd ask questions, show of hands, how many people here have had medical bankruptcy in their family?
Everyone's hand goes up.
Hand goes up. How many people have a small business? You're an entrepreneur. You're a sole proprietor. You're self-insured. Can you get health insurance? No. Show of hands. How many people are uninsured? Everybody was, not everybody, but many people.
Uninsured or underinsured, underinsured.
So it didn't matter. As long as you didn't say the words Affordable Care Act, if you talked about the principles, how about show of hands? How many here have children living at home and they're 22, 23, and they can't get a job yet or in their grad school? Wouldn't it be good if they had health insurance? Oh, yeah.
Of course.
So you do now under Obamacare have health insurance until age 26. So,
which is like millions of people.
Millions.
So, I mean, of course that should be the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And the principles were acceptable. It was the term, and it was the
well, the partisanship behind it.
Yeah.
Government bad. Let me go back to you. Government bad. Right. You know, like workable public policy. Oh, that's following a leader. That's following some sort of centralized thing that makes it better for everybody. That's bad.
Yep. When I was hiring people for the co-op, I would do a little screen, and if people came in and I could tell they were anti-government,
mm-hmm.
it was an immediate no, because I knew that they would not be able to authentically represent Common Ground Healthcare because
right.
we were funded. Now, I'd also say, so, you know that laptop you're using, the software, that Microsoft, you know how that they got that software? They got that because of DARPA, which is the Defense Department's Innovation Center. In 1969, they created the internet. And because it's in the public domain, that became free to everybody. And that's what Microsoft and Google, they all use. So this is not a government handout. That's what they use. They're capitalists. We're capitalists. We're using a loan. By the way, it's all paid back. Mm-hmm. 100%. The point was, this is not about bad government. This is about an investment in our community, the welfare of the community, back to healthcare.
Well, and I'm glad you point this out because I was talking about this idea of false choice. And one of the most grotesque expressions of that false choice is that you either have bad government or capitalism, right? Or like the private sector. We have government and we can continuously ask it to be more accountable, more efficient, to do better. You can criticize the heck out of government. But to act like you don't need it, that there are some problems that are so macro that we need a centralizing organization to solve them, is simply ludicrous.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's the Big Ten home opener against Rutgers. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Relationships.
Building them.
Making them last a lifetime.
Since 1978, Clary has worked to develop true relationships with you, our customers.
Hi, I'm Sean Cleary, president of Cleary Building Corp. Relationships are what drive our success. So whether you are looking at storage for your toys or a new egg building, we hope to exceed your expectations each time we serve you. We are here for every stage of your life. Build your dreams today at clearybuilding.com.
Not all people are the same. And yet, when we visit the doctor, our treatments don't look that different. Why is that? Because we just don't have enough information to do it better. By gathering health data from 1 million people, our country's best researchers will be able to develop treatments that are as unique and complex as we are. With this new information, doctors will have a better understanding of disease so they can innovate the next great breakthroughs in medicine. Learn more at joinallofus.org.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
We come from a land of the ice and snow, from a midnight sun where the heart springs from. The hammer of the gods.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you were wondering what that amazing cover singer was from our last segment, that was Patti Smith. I actually didn't need you to tell me that one. I was like, as soon as it was in my cans on you, I was like, that is Patti Smith. I don't know if you know this, Bob, and Bob's wife is here with us in the studio. So hi, Jean, and thanks for being here.
Thank you.
One of the things about the show is that we only play women vocalists or women produced music or women lead singer bands. So that's a lot of fun. It's great to hear some familiar songs and then hear a lady's voice over the top of it. If you guys want to join the conversation about healthcare, 844-967-2789. The incentive structure is wrong. There's a ton of intermediaries. It's so black box. Consumers don't have real choice. That's all part of this. But there is sort of a new and pernicious element of what's going on in healthcare delivery systems. We see it a lot. And that's private equity, right? Yes. PE funds in and of themselves aren't bad. Anybody that has a 401k or a pension, I guarantee you, it owns some private equity. Okay, this isn't bad per se. Making money is not bad per se. But when you pair PE, which basically like strips down businesses to get rid of anything that is extraneous to make it efficient and return it to profit maximizing as quickly as possible. That's sort of, you think of private equity as the like apex predator in investment. That kind of gives you an idea. Private equity's entree into healthcare has nothing but sort of bad outcomes in the offing.
Right.
Tell me about what we were talking about on break, Bob. This just went down.
Yep. So private equity and the model that Nikki Haley was talking about are related. Nikki Haley was talking about, and there's nothing against Nikki Haley, this is about what she was saying in terms of the application of classical economic theory to healthcare. And as Maggie knows full well, because she was a guest lecturer in my executive MBA last year about the behavioral economic theory that explains healthcare. And she can go into another program into why.
Don't worry. Don't turn your dials. I won't do it now.
but it's fundamentally flawed when you try to explain it in terms of classical economic theory. And that's what we're trying to explain. Private equity is the same drill. Private equity does not apply to healthcare because the model doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because if you apply it, you strip out, like, for example, the pediatrics department or the emergency room because they lose money. And how are you going to have an integrated healthcare system without those? Or they say, okay, let's load up a debt. And then we'll have an exit strategy. We'll sell it. And then people will have to service the debt. Well, many companies go under because of the debt service coverage. We can't.
In other words, you don't have sufficient cash flow to pay your loan payments.
Yeah. And we're supposed to be around in healthcare for the continuity of care, for the community's health.
And continuity of care, you hear this a lot when wonks talk. Here it is in like real people talk, that you immediately when you are prenatal, your mom gets prenatal care, and that you come out of the womb and people care just as much about you as when you were in the womb, and you have health care for your entire life and preventative medicine, and people teach you about nutrition and exercise, and your doc isn't just writing you scripts because that's how they get paid, right? It's not that. It is a lifetime of care.
Yes.
And if people have that, it costs everyone less. I don't know that we can hit that point enough.
Yes, it does, because actually actuarial science supports this. The law of large numbers. You have to have everybody insured in order to have the law of large numbers.
Unless you go to single payer, right? Like, well, unless you go to government delivered healthcare,
which is
politically
different.
It's a different system.
It's not what we do. We don't do that, except at the VA, which is, by the way, an excellent healthcare system, having relatives who serve doctors as doctors.
So there's one other group of people in the United States that are guaranteed healthcare.
That's veterans.
Well, there's two groups. It's veterans. You know what the second group of people are?
The merchant marine.
No. It's people.
Congress.
Oh, yes, because they have a permanent appropriation.
Yes, they do.
It's actually people that are incarcerated.
Oh, yes. Yes. Prison healthcare. Exactly. Yep. And there's a huge business in prison healthcare.
Yep.
Good point.
I can't go down that road because I have to deal with it in my actual day-to-day job. But to me, it's interesting that, you know, hey, in these couple of areas.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
So here's where I want to end. If there was one thing that you could urge Congress to do, and they would actually do it to help improve healthcare in the United States, what would it be, Bob?
I would be very basic. I would go back to the Affordable Care Act, and I'd start tinkering with it, because there are things that can be done right now to fix it. It's not perfect. It's like any system. And that sounds like, oh my God, that's not good. That's not innovative. Well, but it will be. It'll chip away at the problem. Yeah, it's not going to be a Hail Mary pass. No, we don't. That's not going to work. And then we have to go back again, and in a design way, look at the next iteration, which is beyond the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act was more than just insuring people. It was also about quality of care. It involved Medicare. It involved a whole raft of things.
Mandates for certain things, you know, like birth control.
Essential health benefits, which is oral contraceptives.
Yes.
Yes.
From your lips to God's ears, we got to wrap up. My thanks to Bob DeVita. You're going to come back. We're going to keep talking about this. I'm going to give you a list of questions. Because inquiring minds always want to know. Yeah. I got a couple of programming notes before we close out. Next week on Monday, I'm going to be talking about religion and faith and atheism and what actually all of this stuff is. And I'm going to be joined by one of my most favorite atheists, the one, the only, Dominic Salvia of the Devil's Advocates Radio. And on Thursday of next week, I'm going to be joined for an entire hour talking about how the crisis of competence for women, that the curse of congeniality for women costs us physically in our health, with my good friend and longtime executive coach to the Fortune 50 CEOs, Susan K. Worley. She'll be there with me all day, all hour next week, Thursday. So lock it in. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Maggie Dawn. You've been listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We build all your ruins.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.